The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
This morning I want to look at a text in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, as we really focus on, and I feel like our leadership, our music leadership has done a great job of setting the theme of God with us. What does it mean that God is with us? I want to share a little story, and I preface it with this. This is completely made up. It is not true. It's just a goofy little funny story, okay? This is not true, so don't get offended by the story, okay? Funny little story. Parents had two little boys in this little town, and everybody knew that if these boys were so ornery and they'd gotten so much trouble, if there was ever any trouble in the town, they knew that their boys were going to get blamed for it. They were just that bad. And so the mom found out about this preacher in town who had disciplined some young men and got them on the straight and narrow. So she went and she visited the preacher. She said, "Is there any way you could meet with my little boys and try to get them straightened out?" He said, "Sure, I'd love to." So she had an 8-year-old and 11-year-old. He said, "I'll meet the 8-year-old in the morning, the 11-year-old in the afternoon." So on the day that they're supposed to meet, the 8-year-old goes to the preacher's office. And the preacher was huge, big hands, big booming voice. And he sets the 8-year-old down and he says, "Where is God?" The little 8-year-old just began to look at him like, "Oh my goodness, what is this?" And so he began to kind of shake and tremble, and the preacher looked at him again, a little bolder, a little louder. He said, "Where is God?" And the little boy said, I in his own heart and in his own mind, "I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do," and he's getting scared and really shaking and trembling. And so finally again, the preacher said, "Where is God?" with a big, booming, bold voice. And to that, the third time, the boy jumped up. And he ran out of the pastor's office and he sprinted all the way home to his house and he dove into his closet and shut the door in fear. His older brother found him in the closet and he asked him, he said, "What happened?" The younger brother, grasping for breath, replied, "We are in big trouble this time. God is missing and they think we did it." Now that's a goofy, funny little story. But I share it for this reason. I fear that there are too many people sitting in churches week after week living their lives as if God is missing. You see, Jesus, when he came, the prophecies, we've heard it already this morning. The prophets told 1,000 years before Jesus was born that a child would be born. He would be born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, and he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this morning, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, most of you have been in church service a long time, but I simply want to remind us that God is not like Santa Claus. He's not off in some galaxy watching to see if you've been naughty or nice. He's not disengaged and uninvolved and uninterested in your life. No, he is God with us. And I just want to ask a few questions, pose a few thoughts. If we lived our lives as if the God of creation is with us every moment of every day, what would our lives look like? What would our church look like? So read with me, if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 through 23. And then I just want to offer a few thoughts to you dealing with the reality that God is with us. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Church, we must be very careful. The Jews in Jesus' day had studied the Old Testament. They had all the resources to know him. They expected a Messiah. They had all the prophecies. They had all the writings. They should have known when the God-man dwelt among them. Yet they missed him. God was among them in the flesh, and they missed him. If those people missed him, how much more are we susceptible to missing the God-man? Jesus Christ, God with us. I want to challenge us in a couple ways this morning, that we do not live as if God is in some other galaxy uninterested in our lives. But I want to challenge us today, if you're a Christian, not to just celebrate Christmas or to live your daily life as if Jesus is far away, because he's not. If you are not a believer, I want to challenge you not to buy the lie that you've messed up too bad to be saved, but I want you to understand and live with the reality that God came, God with us. Let's look at a couple thoughts this morning. If we lived with the reality that God is with us, some amazing things I think would have to change. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Paul understood. Paul experienced the transforming supernatural power of God within, the Spirit of God within. He says, it's not even me who lives anymore, but Christ who lives in me. If we walk out this door with the understanding mentally and in our hearts that God is with me, God with me, some things drastically change in our lives. Number one, I would say this. If we live with this reality that God is with us, we would live in a way that Jesus has control. We would have to submit and say that the God of creation has control of my life. Often in our Christian lives, we will say this to people, Jesus is my what? What? Lord and Savior. We use those two words, we toss them around all the time. Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord. But how often do we live as if Jesus is really Lord of my life? Like Jesus is with me. He resides in me. He's walking with me day by day, moment by moment, thought by thought, word by word. He's with me. To say that Jesus is Lord means that I submit to his kingship. He is over me. I bend my knee to him as the sovereign King of kings. Too often, I'm afraid, we live as if God is off in some other galaxy. Now, we wouldn't say these things, but I'm asking you to think about how you really live. Do you live as if God is with you moment by moment, day by day? Philippians 2, verse 13. Listen to this. Paul says, "For it is God who is what? At work in you." He speaks to believers and he says, it's God himself, the God of creation, the God who came and dwelt among us, God with us, who is at work in you. That's amazing. You just stop it. If you get nothing else this morning, you walk out of this place thinking, if I'm a Christian, God is at work in me. The God of creation who spoke creation into existence, he dwells within me and he is at work in me. That is amazing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, he says, "I'm not even fit to be an apostle." He says, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I don't even deserve to be an apostle. But then he says this in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary," listen to this, "I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is what? With me." Not God off in some foreign galaxy. Not God spinning the top and saying, "Good luck, Paul. I hope things work out for you." No, he says, the life that I've lived, it's the power of God within me. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The God of creation, Paul says, working within us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation," or debauchery. In other words, it's kind of foolishness. Don't get drunk with wine. But he says, "But be filled with the Spirit." Now, if I was to go and go to the liquor store and buy a couple bottles of wine and just sit there and drink it and drink it and drink it, I would be under the influence of wine, right? How would you know that I'm under the influence of the wine? The way I act, right? I'm going to be stumbling. I'm going to be slurring my speech. Some drunks get mad. Some get happy. But there's going to be an obvious fruit that the wine has taken control. It's bearing fruit in the way I act. Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with what? The Spirit of God. God with us. I used to think as a young person, I thought that I needed to pray for more of the Holy Spirit to live within me. And then it hit me. Wait, if I'm a believer, I've been given the Holy Spirit. What I need to pray is that the Holy Spirit would have what? More of me. God with me. God living and working in me. I just want to ask you the question. Do you live with the reality that God is in you if you're a believer here this morning? See, I hear in my own speech and in the speech of other believers, I hear too often excuses. We say, well, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but I can't do that. I can't forgive the way Jesus tells me to forgive. I can't have pure speech the way Jesus calls me to have pure speech. I can't seek him. I can't love him. I can't do these things. Well, why not? Have you ever stopped to think, why not? God is with us. What we should say is, God, on my own, I can't do those things, but you're with me. You dwell within me. You are working in me. Would you do what I know I can't do on my own? I think if we live with reality that God is with us, our lives would change in that manner. We would live as if Christ is Lord. There's an author by the name of Patsy Claremont. Patsy Claremont writes this. She said she was on a plane one day, and she said as she sat in her seat, a young man sat down next to her and called her ma'am. She writes this. She said, I had already observed something about this young man when I was being seated. He called me ma'am. At the time, I thought either he thinks I'm ancient, or he's from the South where they still teach manners, or he's in the service. I decided the latter was the most likely, so I asked him, are you in the service? Yes, ma'am, I am. What branch? She said, Marines. Hey, Marine, where are you coming from? Operation Desert Storm, ma'am. No kidding. Desert Storm. How long were you there? Young man said, 1.5 years. I'm on my way home. My family will be at the airport. She then comments that he must have thought about returning to his family and home many times while he was in the Middle East. Here was the young man's reply. Oh, no, ma'am, he replied. We were taught never to think of what might never be, but to be fully available right where we are. Friends, that's the call of the Christian. To not be thinking about where I might be or what I might be doing, but to be fully available to Christ as Lord, as sovereign King of our lives. Man, if a Marine has that mentality, how much more should a follower of Christ have that mentality? That I want to seek first the will, the way of Jesus. Being a follower of Christ is not remembering Bethlehem once a year, attending church once a week. When we realize this truth that God is with us, He becomes Lord over our lives. Secondly, a second aspect would be this. I think this would be the natural result of living with the reality that God is with us, is that we would live boldly. We live boldly. We're walking through the book of Romans. We're going to take a break this week and next Sunday, and then we'll jump back into it. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, he concludes his letter by saying, asking them to pray with him that he would boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. If I walk through San Antonio, if I walk through downtown Chicago, a rough area, and I had two or three guys with me that were just buffed and had a couple assault rifles and all kind of stuff, how confident could I walk through that environment? I'd be like, hey, I'm pretty confident. I got guys with me that are going to take me. How much more confident should we go through life if we know that the God of creation is with me? This God who said, there's nothing other than myself. And he spoke, and all of a sudden a galaxy so big that scientists, as smart as they are, say, we don't know how big this galaxy is. You could fly at the speed of light for millions and millions and millions of years and never get to the end of it. God spoke that into existence. If I live with the reality that God is with me, how boldly should I live? Where should fear have any aspect in my life? If I realize and live with the reality that God is with me. Think about David. The whole Israelite army shaking in their boots, and here comes this shepherd boy, and he says, he's mocking my God. Let me take care of this. And he tries to put on some armor, and it's too big, and what's he do? He takes it off, and he says, all I need is a couple rocks and my sling, and I got this. Standing before the giant who mocks him, was God with him? Amen, he was with him. Think about Gideon. Gideon, God tells Gideon, he says, hey, get rid of most of your army. In fact, get it down to there's just a couple hundred left, 300. And then I want you to go and I want you to fight that Midianite war machine. Well, that sounds like a suicide mission, doesn't it? Was God with them? You better believe he was with them. Think about the apostles. You think about Peter and John and Paul, how they were able to live so boldly as they proclaimed the gospel. Read in the New Testament how they were told to stop preaching. They said, hey, I don't know what authority you think you have, but we give our lives to Christ. We stand in boldness and proclaim the message that he's called us to proclaim because God was with them. The scriptures say that when Jesus was born, it was God with us. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is with you? Do you live as if God is with you? Two different questions. Now, I've thought about this a lot as I've prepared and I've thought and I've prayed. I thought, man, there's a lot of times in my life I know it up here, but I don't live it as if God is with me. I want to challenge us as we think about Christmas and celebrate this season to live with boldness. Thirdly, we would live to serve. We would live to serve. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing with your life? When you die one day, if they were to write an epitaph on your grave, what would it say? Man, I collected lots of stuff. Man, I did a lot of fun things. Or would you say, man, I understood Jesus as Lord, Jesus as Master. I understood he switches everything. And he says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And he switched everything and he said, those who serve in my name, don't come to be served, but come to serve. I think if we live with the reality that God is with me, he walks with me, he talks with me, he's with me every moment of every day, I think we grow in him and we understand and we live a life of service. God has not saved you to let you live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years just kind of collecting stuff and living a life. He's called us to serve others in his name. I read a story several years ago about an American soldier in the Vietnam War. This man was on the battlefield and he was about to step onto a landmine. And one of his friends saw that he was about to step onto a landmine and he saw what was coming and he stood up and he yelled at his friend. And as he stood up, he warned his friend and his friend stopped and didn't step on it. But his shouting got a bullet shot his direction. He was killed as he offered the warning to his friend. Several years later, this man whose life was saved at a ceremony to kind of celebrate those who had lived and those who had died, this man had the opportunity to meet the wife and the children of this man who had saved his life. He knelt down, and I just want you to read. I just want to read this to you. He got the opportunity to meet the 7-year-old son of the man who had died saving his life, and he said to the little boy, "He said, I want you to know." The soldier said to the young boy, "Your father saved my life." The little boy looked up at him with tears streaming down his cheeks and said, "Sir, were you worth it?" What is that question? What is that little boy getting at when he asked that question? The ultimate price was paid to save your life. What are you doing with your life that required the life of my father? Leonard Ravenhill once asked the question, "Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?" I want you to think about that. I want you to let that question just penetrate your heart. Is what you're pursuing today, is what you're running after today, is what you're spending your time and your money and your energy on today worth what Jesus did on Calvary's Hill? If we'd say, well, that's probably not, then we probably need to change our trajectory of our lives and live as if we want to serve Christ and serve others in his name. Finally and lastly, If we lived as if God was with us, we would strive for holiness. We would strive for holiness. Listen to Peter's words in 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says to Christians, he says, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If we lived moment by moment, day by day, with the reality that God is with me, the Spirit of God lives within me, be honest, would your speech change? Would your actions change? Would your relationships change? If we lived as if God is with me. You see, too often, we've got in our head that He is omnipresent, He's with us all the time, but we live as if He's off somewhere, and He's not quite watching, He's not quite observing the way I'm treating my wife, the way I'm treating my children, the way I'm treating my husband, the way I'm treating my employees, the way I'm conducting myself as I drive down the highway. Uh-oh. It gets personal, doesn't it? You mean God cares about how I drive down the highway? You mean as I sit in a traffic jam and I feel my blood pressure rising, God is with me? He is. Would how we conduct ourselves in that moment change if we live with the reality that God is with me? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. In Ephesians 5:27, Paul says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. As we celebrate Christmas this year, I want to challenge you. As I challenge myself, as I challenge my family, don't get caught living in Bethlehem. Worshiping a Savior in a manger, He's no longer there. Don't get caught living on Golgotha's Hill as if Jesus is in a tomb somewhere. He's no longer there. The prophet said, He will come, He will be God with us. Do you realize that Jesus said to His disciples, He said, it's better for me if I ascend and go away. Why? So that He could send His Spirit who would dwell within those who are believers, so that in a real way, God is with us anywhere and everywhere we go. Can I challenge you? Live as if God is with you, because He is. If you're a believer, He's with you. He's with you in the bedroom. He's with you on the internet. He's with you in your car. God with us. There's been a trend in recent years where people go into Walmart or they go into Sears or a similar store and they pay for items that are on layaway of a complete stranger. Have you heard about that? Kind of gotten, I don't know if it's as big as it was, but several years ago, that was a big deal. People would go in and just pay for stuff. And then they would have like the department manager or the store manager call these people and say, your debt's been paid. The stuff you got on layaway, that money you owed, somebody else has paid it. Your debt is gone. I pray that today that you are living with the reality that you and I have a great debt, a debt that you cannot pay. But that debt has been paid in another. God with us. Do you know Him today? And if you know Him today as Savior and as Lord, do we live as if God is with us? I want to challenge you. Leave this place with that in our heads and in our hearts. God is with me every moment of every day, and live in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. I want to tell each of you that I love you, and I count it all joy to be able to minister to you, to pray for you, to study God's Word and expound it to you, to do life with you. I've sat at tables, I've shared meals, I've prayed for people, and it is the greatest joy to be with you as God's people. And I want to tell each of you, Merry Christmas. Live as if God is with you. Let's pray together. Father, we praise You. We thank You for this time of year. When life is so busy and hectic, and we are pulled in so many directions, where we have family and friends and celebrations and get together, all things that are good, all things that were designed to benefit us and to bring You glory. God, let us not lose sight As tomorrow we celebrate Christmas, let us not enter a new year and say, okay, that's behind us, and now let's get back to normal life, living as if you were in some other galaxy, uninterested, unengaged in our lives. Father, would you remind us moment by moment, day by day, that God is with us. You are with us in our homes, in our marriages. When we're alone and we think that no one sees, you are with us, and encourage us to live in such a bold and unashamed way as we submit to your will, as we submit to your lead. Have your way in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in this church, in our community, in our nation, in our world. Let your church live with the reality that you are with us. We give you praise, honor, and glory. It's in Christ's name we pray.